privilege to be here. And God put something on my heart, actually, something I did not want to minister on tonight. And that's usually pretty cool, but could be bad news for you guys, just so you know. Pastor Eddie had mentioned that Pastor and Carol had extended their vacation, which was awesome. I was happy for them. And Pastor said, would you do the Wednesday night service? I said, sure, I'd be happy to, is how I responded in the text. I put my phone down. I said, I got nothing. Lord, I got nothing. Usually I got something floating around in my head. I literally had nothing. So I was just kind of focusing on what the heck has been going on in the world and how it's been impacting us as Christians. And this is something I ministered on a while back here. I think it was on a Sunday service, probably a couple years ago. And God put it on my heart that it's something we needed to talk about tonight. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 26. And while you do that, let's pray. Father God, I thank you again for an opportunity to be here, Lord. I just ask you, Father, that everybody here tonight have supernatural ears to hear your word, a heart that's receptive, Lord, and that your word would take root in everybody's heart, Father, and it would produce in their lives, Lord. I thank you that you have a great plan for us. We know you, God, have a great plan for us. We know Jesus executes that plan, and we know the Holy Spirit perfects that plan, Father. And we thank you that that would happen for us tonight, that we would be changed and touched by your word, and I thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. So here's what I wanted to talk about, and if you like a title of a message, the message is titled, Avoiding the Pitfalls of Pride and Offense. Now, anytime you give a message like this, or if I presented a message like this, it has a tendency to invoke the very things that I'm trying to bring out to you that we can have issues with as both certainly people in the world and definitely us as believers. And why was I looking at this? Well, you kind of heard a reoccurring theme that we're all believing for here at the church, and that's a year of restoration. 100% sold out to that idea. I'm 100% sold out to the idea of restoration here at the church, restoration in our own personal lives. However, there are things that can block that blessing from happening. And I don't have to really go much further than Facebook, Twitter, Instagram to understand what I'm talking about with pride and offense. You know, literally after Pastor Eddie texted me, I probably turned around to my computer, was doing a post or something on Facebook, and there was another comment about what's going on politically, another comment about what's going on, you know, religiously in the world. And guess what? It doesn't just come from non-Christians. It's coming from us Christians as well. You want a blessing blocker? Be tangled up in pride and offense. And what I said, and I kind of preface this by saying, I'm always concerned about giving this type of message because I've literally had experiences, and I'm going to set this up by saying, I don't know anything about what you guys are dealing with yourselves. This message is for nobody and everybody because I'm not ministering to any one person. I'm ministering to everybody. So if you're getting a little squirmy in your seat, you're getting a little uncomfortable, that's because your heart is convicting you. And that there might need to have some change that needs to have happen. I've literally given this message once before and had people come up to me after the service and say, how dare you talk about me? I said, I'm not talking about you. This is for everybody. This is for me. This is more for me than you can ever imagine. So hopefully we have enough time to wrap this up tonight. I might go a little bit quick, but plug in and I think you're really going to understand where I'm going. And if you get a little uncomfortable, that's a good thing. That's the Holy Spirit just trying to say, hey, look, we need some change in our lives. Amen? So let's get started by taking a look at what the definition of pride is. And I'm talking about the physical Webster's Dictionary type definition. A feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements. The achievement of those with whom one is closely associated or from qualities or possessions that are widely admired. Basically, pride can mask us or mask for us trying to control our own situation. You know, when we're like, I've got this, you're going through a circumstance. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago about having faith to move mountains. You're going through something, and your instant response is, I've got this. You don't have this. You have the power through Jesus Christ to have this. But when you rely on your own strength to say, I got this, That's a prideful response. Prideful, pride sounds a little selfish, doesn't it? Now let's take a look at offense, and these often walk hand in hand. Pride and offense will walk hand in hand 99% of the time. And like I said, look around in the world. The whole world, our whole society today is offended. We are divided and offended, and we're angry. Amen? And for us as Christians, that ought not be so. And that's where I want to get into tonight. But look, let's look at the definition, same kind of definition of offense, or offended, offense or offended. Annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult to or disregard for oneself or one's standard or principles. Basically, offense judges and it makes a decision based on what we perceive someone or something else has done to us. Amen? And if you say this does not go on in the local church, I beg to differ. I've been here for 10 years. I've seen this way too many times. You know, it should never happen once, and I've seen it happen a lot of times. Amen. For all the wrong reasons. And I'm going to look at that as we get into this tonight. So, I told you to open up to Matthew chapter 26. And I want to look at, in particular, some biblical folks and their dealing with pride and offense. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 31. We all know the story of Peter, right? If you don't think Peter was prideful and offended, you don't know Peter. Amen? And Jesus knew Peter. So in verse 31, it goes on to say, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered and said to him, 'Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble.'" Not me, man. "Lord, I got this. No way, no how. You don't even, you got it." He's telling Jesus, "You've got to be wrong. You can't be talking about me," right? Goes on, "Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you.'" Not me, Lord. You're definitely talking about these other guys, but not me. We all know the story. He, to use Pastor's expression, not Pastor Eddie, Pastor Anthony, he folded like a wet taco, right? We do that. Lord, speaking to your heart, telling you to do something, right? "I'm not going to do it, Lord. I've got my own plan." You know, I just when I pray this in, it's something I got a hold of back in November at the Rhema Men's Conference. God has a plan. Jesus executes the plan, and the Holy Spirit perfects the plan. The only thing that stops that plan from coming to pass is, guess who? Us. And I've experienced this way too many times in my life where I thought my plan was better than God's, and it was nothing but my own stinking pride. I'm going to tell you a little quick story about how I did something like that. Years ago, probably, I'm going to think it's 4 or 5 years ago, you know, I believe 100% that God put on my heart that someday I'd wind up in full-time ministry. I'm not there yet, and that's okay. You know, a lot of growth, a lot of things happen in the wait. Took me a long time to realize that. So I thought it'd be a great idea. You know what? I thought it was a great idea. My wife is laughing because she knows what the great idea was. Here's my great idea. You know, let me sign up for... Let me go back and get my bachelor's degree in ministerial studies and pastoral studies through an online university. And I was like, sounded great, because it was my idea. It was a disaster. Why was it a disaster? It wasn't God's plan. I was trying to, in my own pride, say, I got this all figured out. I was miserable. When God puts something on your heart to do or not do, and when you do the opposite, guess what we are? Miserable. Was I miserable? Because I did it like during Christmas. And I'm like, I got to write a paper at Christmas. Are you kidding me? Right? Not that God wouldn't do that to me someday in the future, but in his timing, not my own. My pride was no different than Peter's by saying, "I ain't going to deny you, Lord." Well, I missed it. Amen? Again, Peter thought his way was better than Jesus. You might say you would never do that, but we unfortunately do that. Pride will be more concerned about the things of men or the world rather than the things of God. Pride is selfish, and the things of God are selfless. Selfish versus selfless. If something you're doing is selfish, it's usually, well, it's not of God. If it's selfless, it's usually from God. Amen? Let's look, now we looked at Peter's pride. Let's look at somebody else. Let's go to Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed after 3 days and rise again. He spoke this word openly. Then again, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Can you imagine standing with Jesus? You walked with this guy for 3 years publicly, saw him do miracles, raise people from the dead, blind eyes see, deaf heard. And Jesus is, and Peter literally goes up to him and starts to rebuke him. So Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Peter literally thought, again, that his way was better than Jesus' way. And we do the same thing. Amen?
Amen.
Always, always, always be obedient to what God's trying to tell you to do. I want to look at now, we looked at Peter's pride. Let's look at Peter's offense. I told you he was a prideful and offense guy. But aren't you glad that on this house, or on this rock, he built his church? Why? Because he saw Peter's heart, not just the mistakes he made. Actually, at the end of this verse of scripture of Peter being offended, Jesus actually restores Peter. So John chapter 21 and verse 15. And I'm going to go somewhere. I'm going to give you some, hopefully, tips that God put on my heart to help you avoid these kind of things. But chapter 15 goes on to say, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said this to him a third time." Like, he's hounding Peter, but for really Peter's own good. "Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and another will gird you and carry you where you did not wish.' This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, 'Lord, who is this that betrays you?' Peter, seeing him, said, 'Jesus, but Lord, what about this guy?' Jesus told him, 'Hey, this is what's going to happen to you when you get older. Okay, as you follow me and you serve me, you're going to go through some stuff.' And all Peter was concerned about was, 'Okay, but what about him?'" You know what I mean? You ever get there where we're like, "Okay, that's great, God. You've got this plan for me, but so-and-so is ahead of me. So-and-so is doing better than me. What about them?" We do that as Christians. We do that as, you know, even in our jobs, in our workplaces, in our ministries. What about them? The Joneses, right? Trying to keep up with the Joneses. What about them? Peter wanted to know what about John, right? Jesus said to him, "If it will that he remain till I come, what is that for you?" And here comes the restoration. Jesus finally says to him, "You know what? You follow me. Dude, just follow me." And hopefully we know Peter got it. Aren't you glad Jesus is in the restoration business? And we keep talking about, like I said, restoration. And Jesus finally goes, "Dude, just follow me, man. You'll be okay," right? He restores him. I want to go through this last verse of scripture here very quickly, and then we're going to get into some of the other stuff. And this is a point-blank, in-your-face, biblical example of how offense can destroy us. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 5. And I'm going to just kind of sum this up without reading through the whole thing. Naaman was a major commander in Syria at the time of Jesus, at the time of actually Elijah's day. And he was a great guy. He was honorable. He was a great, great warrior, but he had a problem. He was a leper. So they wind up in a battle. They capture some people from the battle. They took this particular woman captive, brought her from Israel, And what she tells Naaman all about Elisha and how he's a great man of God, and I think he could do something about your leprosy. So in verse 9, it says, "Then Naaman went to his horses and chariot and stood at the door of Elijah's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored to you and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became furious." He's like, this dude, does he know who I am? Do you know who I am? How dare he not personally come to me? He literally, this close to missing his healing because of his pride and his offense. We know the story. He finally got a hold of himself. He goes, washes in the Jordan. Guess what happens? He's restored. He's no longer a leper. Naaman almost literally missed his healing because of his pride and offense. Here's what offense does. This really sums up offense in a lot of ways. And it sums up offense, and this is kind of what I was getting to, what happens in the local church. And we're going to look at pride and offense next in the local church. But offense gets angry. A lot of people offended on Facebook, right? And what I'm realizing is it's not just about I'm supporting this or I'm supporting that. A lot of people don't even know why they're supporting what they're supporting. They're just offended because somebody disagrees with them. And I see Christians post. They play into this. You know, it's real easy. You could sit in front of that computer all day and get furious. Because why? Offense gets angry. Then what does it do? It makes a snap decision. That's wrong. How dare you do this to me? I'm leaving the church. Pastor, we ever heard that before? I'm leaving the church. And we sit there sometimes like, what? Really? Somebody sat in your seat? You're leaving the church? And don't think that doesn't happen. That happens. So offense gets angry, makes a snap decision, and guess what happened? Pride stops them from coming back and making it right and rectifying the situation. That's why offense and pride go hand in hand. And some of this stuff is so petty, literally over seat. You know, I always use this story. The first time they ever changed a platform in the old sanctuary, Pastor gave me the privilege of preaching the first Sunday message I ever did, neglected to tell me that they were changing the platform. So I walked in. Not only was the platform changed, the seating was changed, there was no aisle in the middle. People were freaking out. There's no aisle. Mad. There's white squares on the platform. The wood is gone. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to have church. We're going to look at that too in a second. You can only get offended if you allow yourself to receive it. I could tell Louis, Pastor Eddie just made fun of Louis. Louis, you're a no good. We're going to throw you out with the next reconstruction we do here at the church. And it's up to him whether he receives it. It's up to us whether we receive the offense. Somebody calls you a no good, blah, 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 beep, 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 colorful metaphors. Okay, and walk away. You didn't receive the offense. Offense can't be given. It can only be received. Amen. So I wanted to look at pride and offense within the local church. Like I said, if you don't think it happened, it does. So I've got a couple litmus tests here, benchmark tests, where you can test your own heart. This is personal. Something that came out of, I'll get there in a second. Here's a question you could ask yourself. Pastor Eddie walked up to you tonight. Pastor Anthony or Miss Carol asked you on Sunday, "Hey, so-and-so, can you do me a favor and go clean the toilet?" Ooh, not me. Ain't my job. Think about it. Because inside the body of Christ, inside the local church, whoever cleans those bathrooms is as important as whoever stands in that pulpit. Yes. Why? Because it's what you've been called to do. Amen? So what would your response be? I'll never forget it. There was somebody here at the church. I did this in, actually, it was a class. And that person was presented with an opportunity literally like a day later, be like, "I got to clean the bathroom." And he jumped all over it. Amen? But what would you do if Pastor asked you to clean the toilets? Would you? Yes, sir. Amen? Amen. I would be happy. No, I wouldn't be happy to, because I'm a little bit like, eh, but I do it. Not because I don't think I'm above it. I just, eh, but I do it. Our soup kitchen here is an example I always use. People always don't look like us. They don't act like us. They don't even smell like us. But are you willing to meet their need, or are you like, I ain't going in there and doing that? Amen? Amen. There's a story. You might have seen it. It's been going around for a number of years. But there was a church that had hired a new pastor, but only the board of elders or the senior leadership of the church knew who that person was. Came into the congregation, was going to do his first Sunday message, but he didn't come in like in the form you would think he came in. He dressed himself like a homeless guy and sat in the back of the church and wanted to see how many people came up to him and said, hey, how are you doing? Greeted him, were kind to him. Nobody came up to him. He got up on the pulpit, undressed himself, I'm your new pastor, and that's our first sermon, and ended it. Does that speak volumes? What would you do if somebody that doesn't look like you, smell like you, act like you, dress like you, sit down next to you in church Sunday? Right? Here's another big one. Guys, we're as bad, we're worse than the ladies are sometimes with this, and that's gossip. Gossip is a church killer. Did you hear what brother so-and-so did? Did you hear what sister so-and-so did? Right after people walk out of a sanctuary after a message, go sit in a cafe, after the word just came forth, and it's like, really? Have I been guilty of doing it myself? Absolutely. Do I try to catch myself? Because it's real easy to get caught up in that self. I try to endeavor to catch myself every time. We're called to love each other. Not talk about each other.
Amen.
Amen. And you're saying, well, what does that have to do with pride and offense? It leads to offense. Because if that person ever finds out that so-and-so is talking about them, guess what happens? They get offended. Amen. Predispositions. Something that has happened to me in church, in here at the church, whereby I get somebody that comes up to me and says, hey, did you hear about this new person, so-and-so, and begins to tell me all about so-and-so. And I make the mistake of listening to it. I try to not do that now, but this is going back some ways. Did you hear about so-and-so? Let me tell you about so-and-so. I create a disposition in my head about so-and-so before I ever met them, and I have my entire mind made up about so-and-so. Then I meet so-and-so, and it's like, this guy's a great guy. Why? Because I allowed somebody else to influence me. Amen?
Amen?
Part of offense. Pride. Pride in areas of service. I'm more talented than somebody else. Why are they doing that instead of me? Sometimes, or most times, areas of service start small as God grows you.
Yes.
Pastor Eddie hit the nail on the head. Me and my wife have just been talking about it, and I'm going to touch on it too in a couple minutes, is stepping outside our comfort zone. Literally, I just said it to her on my drive home from work. I called her and said, you know, God's been dealing with me about stepping outside my comfort zone. And I'm not just talking about here at the church, which I do believe God's doing for me, but also in my business life. Don't do what you used to do. Do what now is uncomfortable to do. Why? Because out of discomfort, Pastor, I think, ministered on it last Wednesday or Sunday, is how you're going to grow. Step outside your comfort zone. Who cares if somebody's more talented? Be the best where you're at. You've been called to that position for a reason.
Amen.
Don't get offended or be prideful about it. Like I said, pride and offense will cause people literally to leave the local church. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. We all know that verse of Scripture. That word haughty in the Hebrew literally means a spirit of exaltation or grandeur. You think yourself, I think myself, we think ourselves more, greater than we ought. Amen? What I want to do is kind of, how do we overcome this? We're going to wrap up with this in a couple minutes. How do we overcome pride in our fence in our lives? Number one, we have to recognize the characteristics of pride. Number one, an independent spirit or a refusal to look to God or others for help. If you're going through a circumstance right now and you're trying to stand and things are just not going your way and it's difficult and it's tough, you were never meant to go through this Christian walk alone. You are obviously supposed to lean on Jesus for sure, but he put you in a body of believers for a reason. As iron sharpens iron, right? We're here for each other. Don't be too prideful to ask for help. You know, me and my wife running the Celebrate Recovery, now the Celebrate Freedom Ministry, where we've had people dealing with all kinds of things in there that after years finally say, you'll never know what I'm going through. And there's like four other people in the group that have been through it. They think they're alone. Sometimes we think we're alone and our pride stops us from bringing it forth. Amen? Don't be too prideful ever to ask for help. Another characteristic of pride, a failure to admit mistakes. I have a tough one with this myself, something I still deal with. When we make a mistake, own it. Tom's agreeing with me, I think. When we make a mistake, own it. Because when we own it, that mistake will grow us. We'll learn from the failures and the mistakes, not always the victories. The failures and mistakes will help us grow. Here's another one, a rebellious attitude towards those in authority. Again, don't think that happens inside the local church. Rebellious attitude towards those in authority. And it happens everywhere. It happens in workplaces. It happens, you know, in social settings. It happens everywhere. Perfect example. Your ministry leader, if you're here in the ministry at the church, says to you, hey, can you do this? Oh, I can do it better. I got a better way of doing it. Nobody asked you if you had a better way. We're asking you to do it a way because that's the way we want it done, because we've kind of sought guidance in that area. Not a failure or a rebellious attitude towards those in authority. A proud countenance. And again, we're going to look at not judging people in a second, but a proud countenance. You know, there's that story in the Bible about the tax collector and the Pharisee praying, oh, thank God I'm not like this guy over here. A proud countenance, right? Whose prayers got answered? Who did God say, I like him? The guy who said, I'm a wretched tax collector. Lord, you know I'm a mess. Or the guy saying, look at me, I'm better than this guy. I give tithes of all that I have. And, you know, like, dude, really? Prideful prayer, honest, sincere, cry out to God kind of prayer, right? Who do you think God responds to? A proud countenance, a self-centered conversation, the I factor. Enough about you, let's talk about me. Something I have to work on, and I don't do it because is interrupting people. I don't mean to interrupt them because I think I have something better to say than they do, although that's what comes across when we interrupt people. It's because I'm passionate about trying to help people. But even in that case, we have to learn to listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Self-centered conversation. If it's all about you, I know people personally that are like, oh, how you doing? Good. And I'm almost afraid to ask them, how are you doing? Oh, it's going to be here for a while. Even in casual conversation, right? How you doing? Good. How are you doing? Oh, man. I got to be somewhere. Self-centered conversation. Number six, intolerance towards the mistakes of others. If you're in a leadership position, if you're at work, here at the church, wherever, in your house, if somebody makes a mistake and you're all over them and you can't stand the fact they made a mistake, you need to change. People make mistakes. People will always let you down. There's only one that would never let you down, and that's Jesus. Amen? A bossy attitude. I can certainly come across that way. Somebody that, you know, as a leader, both in business and here at the church, I'm always endeavoring to help people grow. I always feel like I'm training my replacement, because I want to sow into people's lives. My wife will tell you, over the years I've been in business, how many people have gone on to open their own businesses that I've mentored and got them, you know, hey, I'll help you out. I'll teach you how to do this. You know, not be bossy. A leader leads. Amen. Somebody that's always putting somebody down or commanding isn't a leader. That's a boss. Always endeavor to be a leader, not a boss. Amen? a need for things they do, a need for people with pride, a need for things they do not to be recognized by others. They always want to, hey, look what I did. You know, it's not about that. Do everything unto the Lord. Amen. That's where your reward comes from. Yeah. Amen. Strife. If somebody's always in strife, usually is a prideful kind of thing. Now let's look at how do we overcome all of this. Number one, first and foremost, recognize the characteristics that I just talked about. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 says, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own? Don't look at yourself first. Look inward before you go to look to somebody else and tell them about what they've done. Amen? Here's a big one for me. Always remain teachable. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. I'm going to give you two examples. I'm going to give you a worldly example or a world, you know, daily life kind of example, and I'm going to give you a church example. A couple times over the last few years, I've had the privilege of teaching that class, The Armor Bearer, Cultivating the Heart of a Servant. I've had so many people, I think, were blessed by that class, not because of my teaching, because it's a great book. Amen. And it really breaks down how to be of service inside the local church and understanding how it operates. I've had so many people, though, come up to me and say, I don't need that. I've been here forever. Well, what do you mean you don't need that? Everybody needs that. I needed that because it made me change the way I looked at things, helped me grow, show me what I was doing wrong, even in leadership here. I was doing stuff wrong. My attitude was wrong. Amen. Always be teachable. This is something God's been dealing with me since the first of the year. I'm a goal setter when it comes to business. So, kind of goal setter with everything. So, God was dealing with me, okay, right, it's that time of the year, New Year's, let's write down my professional goals for the year. So, I wrote them down, and I said, how am I going to get there? They're attainable. I don't set unattainable goals. I set goals that are just out of reach, right? So, my wife was talking to me, and I should probably listen to her a little bit more. So I was, and God's literally, like I said, been dealing with me, stretching me and making me uncomfortable. So I've been in business, and this is where my pride can enter in. I've been in business almost 30 years. What am I going to, 30 years. I wrote the book. Not even close. Today, after prayer, after an opportunity, after just something that was presented and fell in my life, I hired a coach. First time I've ever had I've had business mentors, I've never had a business coach. I have a business coach. Coincidentally enough, didn't know this when they came in, happened to be a Christian-based company that started out years ago selling Bibles door to door, and now they do business consulting. The girl that came in and did the presentation in our office happened to be a Christian. Didn't know that either. So I hired a coach. Why? I've got to be teachable. I've got to get outside my comfort zone and be able to receive from somebody that's better at it than I am. If you're the smartest person in your group, get a new group. You'll never learn from somebody if you're the smartest one in your group. Amen? Proverbs 12:1, I didn't read this. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Point blank says it, stupid. Live in a no-judgment zone. Take time to get to know somebody before you make a snap decision, like I said earlier, about their character because what you have observed or because what somebody told you about them. Perfectly, I'm probably a living example of that. I can come across as snobby, conceited, arrogant, and self-centered. I know this, guys. You know why it is? Joe, my wife will tell you. I'm shy by nature. And you're going to be like, how is that possible? Don't ask me. I can't figure it out either. If you've been around me any length of time, I always tell this story. She'll be like, can you call for a pizza to be delivered? I don't want to call. It's uncomfortable. I can do this because God's anointed me to do this, but I can't, I'm just shy. She can walk up to anybody at like the Mac counter at a diner and say, oh, your eyeliner is awesome. And I'll be like, come on, you don't talk to her. In business, she's the opposite. In business, I can talk to anybody. But by nature, I'm shy. Yes? For sure? I don't get it, but it's true. That's why I come across that way. Pretty quiet most of the time. I'm an observer by nature, but I'm shy. Number four, cultivate humility in your lives and be humble. Not the false humility like I talked about with the Pharisee and the tax collector. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Remember, pride is about our glory and humility is about God's glory. Avoid the ego, edging God out. Amen? Remember, you guys okay? We got like five more minutes. I just want to wrap it up when we can here. Remember, pride, I said that. Here's another one, avoid false humility. I just said that about the tax collector and the Pharisee. Number six, submit to authority. Romans 13:1, submit to government. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. One of the things I've learned kind of the hard way, because I've been on both ends of the spectrum, is when you submit to the authority, it's not about age. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a perfect example. At my office, I'm the oldest person in that office. I am also in charge. Here at the church, there's a structure that's set up. Pastor Eddie is over me. Pastor Eddie's younger than me. I submit to the person. It doesn't matter how old he is. He has the experience that I don't have. Submit to the person's position. It doesn't matter if they're older or younger than you. I've been on the other side of it where I own the company and I had somebody that was 30 years older than me would never receive anything from me because I was younger. Didn't make me unqualified to own the company, but in his eyes, I was younger and he would never submit to me. You don't submit to the age. You submit to the God's anointed position over you. Amen? Romans 13:1, I just read that. Going quick here, so. Number seven, avoid gossip. Gossip stops when it reaches one obedient Christian. One obedient Christian. That's all it takes to stop it in its tracks. Be that person. Somebody walks up to you and says, hey, you're never gonna, I don't wanna know. Sometimes that gossip is about our leadership, our pastor and Carol here at the church, Pastor Eddie. You guys have heard me say this before. Somebody comes up to you and says, oh, can you believe what Pastor Anthony did? Can you believe what Pastor Eddie did? Walk a mile in their shoes. I learned that the hard way, taking that armor bearer class, because I thought I had great ideas. I was privileged to become an elder here in the church, and now my head spins with what you guys tried to control for all these years alone. Walk a mile in their shoes. If you've got something to say, bring it to that person directly. Amen. Make an appointment. They're always here to talk. Trust me. Number eight, sometimes we got to agree to disagree. I wish that would happen in the country right now. Let's just agree to disagree and let's just move on. I learned a long time ago, if both sides are not happy, things are going good. That's compromise, right? If neither party's happy, then we're on the right track. Amen? Number nine, and this we're going to close out with, cultivate an attitude where our love of Jesus outweighs our love of self. Remember, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Be that person. Don't allow offense and pride. Don't get caught up in what's going on Facebook. Very rarely will I actually don't post anything political. I have my views. Not because I don't want to offend anybody else. People that know me know where I stand. You know, and I think it's time now. We need a healing. The country needs a healing. The church needs a healing. We're to pray for those in office and in authority over us, not to necessarily speak out. There's nothing wrong with speaking out because America is a country of advanced citizenship. I can disagree with somebody at the top of my lungs, something that they would spend a lifetime disagreeing with me at the top of theirs. That's what makes this country great. But we have to figure out a way to do it in love. Amen? Amen. Hope you guys got something. Don't get prideful. Don't get offended. Father, we thank you again for you meeting everybody's need tonight, Lord. And if anybody in here just had that little heart tug, that uneasiness, that's just the Holy Spirit, your own heart convicting you, saying, look, it's time for a change. Father. And I understand this because I know I'm always a work in progress, Lord. And we thank you that people have gotten a hold of this tonight. We would go home and do that spiritual inventory and check our own hearts and our walk and our lives and see if any of these areas apply to us, Lord. And just, we would change. You always want us to be changing, Father. We'll never arrive at what Jesus is, but we have to endeavor to get as close as possible, Father. And we thank you that we're all doing that right now, Father, and that we're going to leave these doors and leave this church different than we walked in, Father. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.